This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. Those of you who are listening, because I'm sure interest levels are dwindling, reflective of the mood generally for Sunderland fans.
Great.
It's a horrible,
good job of waste now.
Horrible cold, wet day as well, reflective also of the mood, I think, isn't it? Would you say?
Yeah.
Would you say, yeah. Gareth?
Good start, that, isn't it?
Good start. Start as you mean to go on. I'm not going to try and missell our audience here. It's not going to be a bundle of joy, all right? Is that all right?
We're just faffing on with the mic.
No problem. Right, we're joined today, tonight, by Richard May from the Sunderland Echo. Pleased to have you back in, Richard.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Good journey, not so good on the way back, I heard.
Oh, it took ages. My driver, Frank Reed, who takes our photos, my driver. I do drive now and again. But yeah, he missed a turn off the A19, so it took us a while to get back.
Just to turn off the A19.
Yeah, so we just
not in a place where you could recover it.
No, not very easily. Yeah.
Where was it when you got so obsessed with
the average speed cameras
that you missed? We ended up in Doncaster nearly. Unless I hadn't said anything.
I stayed on the M18.
Yeah,
where instead of coming back onto the A1,
right.
Probably my dad's, because it's the only place I
could
have got away games.
He was like, these average speed cameras, I'm going to need to go somewhere that doesn't. You just went straight. I didn't go off at the M18 onto the A19, wasn't it?
It was onto the A1.
Yeah. And I was like, he was like, we can get the A19 if we head towards Doncaster. I was like, no, you can't.
You can.
Yeah, you just have to go to Doncaster first.
Yeah, it would have took a while longer. So Richard obviously was down the game. I didn't watch the game, so this is going to be great tonight. But it doesn't stop.
I'll watch the game.
But yeah, there you go. So just
commitment.
I'll be quiet.
I was in London.
I'll be quiet.
Watched it on
well, what
a
else
phone
you going to do? You would
have
only went to the pub and not watched the game, so you might as well have tried to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Probably, did you not ask the pub if they would put it on?
Was that, Richmond. What that means is that they put rugby on.
Yeah.
So, which... I just hate rugby. But anyway,
you don't even get on the Six Nations bandwagon?
I just hate rugby. It's the stupidest sport ever. Someone's going to come and tell us why rugby's much better than football now, I'm sure, but it just seems counterintuitive to me. Kick it over, throw it out.
That's what
Sunderland do. Kick it backwards.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Michael Luff also joins us. You'll have been down there, Michael, as well. You go to most of the games away from home. I don't know what banner you want me to portray you under.
Rote report, I think, would be most appropriate, yeah.
Most appropriate, Gareth?
Nah, just wise men say contributor.
Flatly acknowledging us, totally.
Wise contributor to. Well, Rory was on your thing the other week, under Rote report banner.
Yeah, I did put him under, yes, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
He was under twice on the website, but yeah. I've got a slot this week, actually.
Either of you guys fancy a go.
Anyway, right. It was only a couple of games ago we played Crystal Palace. Who wants to talk about what's gone wrong? Sunderland, generally, obviously. Come on, I didn't watch the game.
I don't think you can take...
I didn't watch the game. Tell me
I don't think you can take a winning... Beating Palace 4-0 and being 4-0 up at half-time as a yardstick for anything. So I think that's... That, in a way, that probably gives you a little bit of hope. Because we're still only 3 points away from safety. I guess an extra point with a goal difference, maybe, but you know, it's a win. We're a win from getting close to getting out of it. Nobody seems to want to, you know, cut the cord, so to speak, with the bottom three. If anything, more teams get dragged into it as the weeks go by. Bournemouth now looking a little bit choppy. Obviously, Leicester.
Things go the way it's going to go. It's going to be, because last week it was like 2 points away, and then next week it's going to be like we are still only 5 points away, and then
five,
it's going to keep going on and keep going on.
We were 5 points away a few weeks ago.
Have any of you two lads who were down there seen anything in the players' attitude or performance that suggests they're going to turn this around?
I don't think you couldn't fault the work rate, but I don't think you really could this season much. There's been a couple of games where you think, like Southampton, second half, the last 20 minutes, body language was shocking. But, you know, the effort was there on Saturday. It was just, they were much, much better, weren't they?
It's just a nondescript game, wasn't it, I thought.
Yeah. I just think we talk about work rate, but although the players, I think, are trying as hard as they possibly can, I just think we're missing far too many key players. There's not a man on the pitch, like a league Catamall, who will like grab a hold of people, who will motivate the players, gear everybody up. You were looking around on Saturday, and for me, there was a clear like kind of lack of leadership. Everyone was kind of doing the minimum requirement rather than trying to like push themselves on. I don't think it was ever a spell in the game where we got a hold of it.
I take that on board, and I think you're right. And you've just said you're not sure that the attitude is an issue, Richard. But should Everton, as decent as they are, be able to beat Sunderland in first gear like they were? This is the way the Liverpool Echo reported the game. I've just written a couple of paragraphs that I've printed out, okay? The headline is Everton 2, Sunderland 0, the verdict. Boringly routine win gives Blues reason to be excited. And it says, Ronald Koeman's side struggled to get the pulse up to a gentle jog. Never mind racing, there was something to be said for the straightforward manner in which they won this game. Bar a fright deep into the second half when arch portrait Jermaine Defoe stuck the underside of the bar, the Blues dominated this game. While it may have taken to the last 10 minutes, Lukaku raced clear to equal Duncan Ferguson, blah, blah, blah. The outcome of this subdued affair was scarcely in doubt. Forget how low-key it may have been. This is one to enjoy how boringly routine it all was. That's not to say they'd get away with playing in second gear against Spurs next weekend or against West Brom a week later. That, to me, suggests it's more than just a...
How do the half live?
Yeah, well, and the other half being Everton in this case.
Yeah.
With respect.
I think, not the half, but come on.
Koeman himself said they were far too comfortable saying that, didn't he?
So that can't just be down to ability. I'm not having it. There's either motivation issues or there's major tactical flaws.
I think if you just look at the when Sunderland are bad, you know, they do so many bad things and I guess. Yeah, they didn't have to get out of first gear. Maybe that made us look a bit better. But and Don gave the ball away quite a bit. Gibson looked off the pace. Larsson looked off the pace. Barini just does nothing. Yanazai can't really play as a winger. You know, defensively, yeah, I didn't think we looked too bad defensively. I think shape wise, we're
much
all,
better defensively
all right.
than Southampton. Yeah.
We're all right.
That's not saying much.
But obviously, we had to change it. It would have been interesting if we'd had the. I deny if you would have gone with a back three or whether he had a change. Thought Oviedo had a decent game again. But, you know, when we play well, you know, we look capable. And that's what you got to hope in the last 12 games, that we have enough of those games where we can play well enough to win. Yeah, we're going to lose some games as well, but we need to win probably five of the 12 remaining. We've got eight reasonable fixtures in that 12. So that's why I don't think we'll go down.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't think we'll go down. I just think we might get some good players back at the right times. You know, if Kershaw comes back in and, you know, hopefully we can keep him fit. You know, Nichimi might come back in towards at a key point and.
How far
the fixtures,
HB,
but
Richard,
also but the fixtures, the fixtures, the fixtures being moved is going to help us because we've got two fixtures being moved. They could well be both in the last 3 weeks of the season, so it gives us a chance to get players back.
Well, I mean, we've done this before,
in
so
yeah,
it wouldn't
exactly.
surprise anybody. Richard, where, do we know what the situation is on Catamol and on Anichi B?
Yeah, I think they'll both be April. Probably early to mid-April.
Is that not too? You're talking about bringing
because then you've got to obviously get him up to match speed and stuff. But I mean, because he's had a bit of a setback, hasn't he? Catamol
takes generally when he comes back from injury, takes a good 3 or 4 games just to get warmed up.
But the what he could bring in the psychological side of the game might be the most valuable thing. Not so much. Could he do a half? Could a half fit Catamol do worse than Seb Larsson is at the moment? I don't think so.
I just think going back to what Gareth said before, it's interesting you talked about when we play really well, we are capable of putting a really good performance together, but when we're bad, we're terrible. I think that's been the big issue. Last season, I know we got a bit sick of Allardyce talking about respecting the point, but in the end, that's what kept us up. If you go back through Sunderland's games, if we had just ground out a 0-0 or 1-1 at places and got 2 or 3 extra points, things could look completely different. I just don't think we have our capability.
I don't think Moyes is necessarily attacking enough to go against that philosophy, though. He's quite cautious and negative as a manager anyway, isn't he? So yeah. I know he doesn't come out and say it,
yeah.
But I would imagine he's sending his players out with a similar sort of mindset, you know, don't lose the game.
Yeah,
but it's not evident, though, when you look at it. I don't think we are like mentally strong enough to grind out results and points.
I think that's the issue, definitely mental strength, but that works both ways, doesn't it?
No, definitely.
The mental strength thing, you know, that you can see the confidence really does swell when they're playing, having a good patch, and that's when they've got a hope that the chance comes and they take it. Like, it's still, whatever they're saying, Liverpool let go, it was a routine win, but Defoe's effort goes 6 inches the other side of the line, and it's 1-1, and you've got 20 minutes to go. And I don't think that... I think they would have gone, uh-oh, we're in trouble here. And I think that would have lifted Sunderland, and then you might have seen a different final 20 minutes. They wouldn't have been putting a match report in there like, oh, God, it was so easy, because, you know, it wouldn't have been easy 20 minutes to go at 1-1, and then they would have been talking about how Everton didn't get out of second gear and took Sunderland for granted. So it's all ifs and buts.
You look at like Middlesbrough can't buy one at the minute. They can't even buy a goal, really.
Middlesbrough will go down.
Yeah, I think
we might join them, yeah. But Middlesbrough will go down.
Yeah, but at least Sunderland look capable of getting the odd result, yeah. And the odd result, if you get 5 odd results out of 12,
and it's that issue of going a goal down then, isn't capable. It again, like we keep, yeah, saying. And we were just speaking there and saying Southampton had played a cup final yesterday. They go 2-0 down against the run of play to Manchester, yeah, United. And if that was Sunderland, it would have been about 8-0. It would have been about 8-0, yeah. But Southampton kept, you know, dominated the game. Still got back into the game 2-2. It goes back to when we played Southampton a couple of weeks ago. Gabbiadini, as I said at the time, I thought you had to credit his runs for both goals. So I'm glad he did that yesterday, because you can see that ability is there. His movement off the ball is unbelievable, and that's all there was in that game. But yet the players just lost all belief. Now, obviously, it's easier said than done, and Southampton are in a place mentally where they could cope with going 2-0 better than Sunderland. But it's just proof that you just can't pack in and give up a 2-0, which is what Sunderland did. And this is going to be an issue, because if they're doing it a 1-0, they'll be in trouble, because we don't go in front a lot.
But you look at, also alluded to this point, the last time we did this show, so Southampton, we conceded midway through the first half, but midway, if you're going at half time 1-0, you've still got a chance. 47 minutes 2-0, 90 minutes 3-0, 94 minutes 4-0,
yeah,
weekend 40 minutes 1-0. It's a problem, yeah. There's about 30% of the goals we've conceded this season have been in the last 5 minutes, or in red time, I guess, if you want to call it that, in added time. We've conceded about, it'll be 20, I think, I can't remember exactly how many. I think it's 13 or 14 goals, so it's about 27%, I think, of the goals we conceded. A third of the goals you're conceding in the last 5 minutes of either half. That, I don't think that's a coincidence. That's either a fitness, it's a concentration thing.
Concentration would be the obvious suggestion.
Because they're probably thinking, oh, we need to get to half time now.
Yeah. They're already thinking about half time.
They're already thinking, oh, we need to get.
That's a bad place.
The game's already gone.
That's a bad place to be in.
The 2-0 down in that game with 90 minutes on the clock, they're thinking, well, doesn't matter now, does it? Well, those two goals could matter.
Difference could be key.
In goal difference, I mean, our goal difference is already second worst in the league. So it could matter, but it's going to be tight down the bottom, because a team down there will go on a bad run and chip a load of goals before the end of the season. We've seen it before when Sunderland have stayed up where we've looked. We've already had about 12 goals on a team, and then we've managed to eclipse them over the course of the games that we've had where we've won and they've lost. I mean, remember Norwich, where we had that 6-goal swing where we beat them 3-0. You know, that we lose 3-0 to Swansea, that's a 6-goal swing against us. You know,
we clawed that back against Palace, but then we went and lost 4-0 next game.
Yeah. But that's an 8-goal swing with Palace, though, because you've beaten them. So
I was going to say the other thing with the fixtures in March. They've only got two games, haven't they? So, like, come April, they could. I mean, would you realistically expect to get anything from City this weekend? Probably not.
You never know. That's the thing, though.
But, no, I'm saying, yeah.
You never know,
they're capable of springing results. But
you sit, like, Liverpool game.
Yeah.
What are they going to do today? Draw 2-2. And we look, really, we should have won that game when you look at it.
I think, Gareth, you've said before on the podcast that we need, obviously, to get a lot more points than we've averaged this season so far. So I don't think we are in a position where we can write off games like Saturday and write off games like Manchester City, because we need the points.
Yeah.
Therefore, we do need to spring some of these surprise results from somewhere.
But this would be something, wouldn't it, to grind out like a 0-0 draw or even sneak a 1-0 win and then go and look. Who have we got after that?
Burnley at home,
who haven't won away all season in the league.
Yeah.
So you know what would happen there.
Put your savings on Burnley.
Historically.
Yeah. And that's ahead of a busy April where there's already six, potentially seven games if the Borough games reschedule for them, which
I think that'll work in our favour, having all those games close together.
It's a quick against just a lot
of
teams.
Just get them
in amongst them.
If you get one win, you got the next game against, you know, they are winnable games. You know, we've got Chelsea last game of the season, which is perfect really, because that's one of the tough ones out the way, so to speak. I mean, if it's coming down to the last day of the season, then it's not you're not focusing on the fact, oh well, we've got Chelsea, that's a tough game. You're focusing on the fact that it's taking you 37 games to get yourself into a position where you have to stay up, and it never goes to the last game of the season for us somehow. Everyone thinks it will, and we're always safe by the middle of the final week of the season. I don't know why.
Is there anything in what Seb Larson says? Because he was saying, I might have been to you guys, Richard, saying that he thinks other sides will look at that in the run-in, that Sunderland have that, and he thinks subconsciously the Sunderland players will gain confidence from that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a piece he did with the club website, but and then you just guess, you judge Seb Larson on his recent performances, and they've not been great.
Well, not speaking about him personally.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of experience in there. Other teams might think, bloody hell, they've just gone to New York for 4 days. They're obviously pretty relaxed about the relegation situation.
That hasn't been brought up as much as I thought it was going to be by fans, unless I've managed to avoid social media, because I've been busy this week.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because you look at someone like Seb Larson at the moment, you'd say if everyone was fit, I mean, he's behind Gibson and Dong, Kershaw, Cattermole,
McNair,
maybe Rodwell at the moment. Mm-hmm. He's probably sixth, seventh choice in terms of, so you know, you probably wouldn't get into two teams. You could play in front of Larson, and that's a shame because he has been, you know, he's had his critics, but he has been a really important player for Sunderland since he arrived in 2011 joined. Yeah. So he's been here for 6 years. I mean, he's been player of the season, so. But I think it's just sad that we're having to rely on him, and it exposes his, you know, his frailties when he's not playing well, you know, which are magnified the fact that he's a bit older, and he hasn't been playing a team that's been getting results, and on top of that, he's been injured. So, you know, and it was a bad injury again. It was a knee problem, a knee ligament problem. So, you know, I think it's fair to criticise him, but I think that they want really the player who. How do you manage someone like Fabio Barini? You know, no matter what you seem to do, it doesn't seem to improve his performance. He changes position, doesn't matter. You drop him, try and get a rise out of him, doesn't do anything. You start him every week, he doesn't do anything. You know, he must be the least effective player we've got on the side at the moment, really, when he plays.
Just going back to the original point Larson made, though, about other teams maybe subconsciously being afraid of our like run that we put together traditionally at the end of the season. But my main worry is, where is the spark going to come from this year? Because we're not going to sack Moyes, realistically. I wouldn't advocate sacking him, but in the past that's got our like boost towards the end of the season. Last year Allardyce came in, and yeah, we got really good sustained form the second half of the season. But for me, I look at the team now, and you look at the fan base, and you look around the area, it's just flat, and I don't see where we're going to get this spark from to put together a running game to keep us up.
It's an interesting point, because Moyes made the point after the Saturday that he's still convinced, as he would be, that there's a winning run in that 12 games. But yeah, like you say, aside from Jermaine Defoe, I mean, obviously the return of Pickford's a big boost, but there's been little really to see.
Well, people get excited about, you know, Nietzsche might come back in the start of April. All it takes is one win, and if you've got 6-7 games in 5 weeks, you know, that momentum, you know, that's what it is. We always say it's momentum in it, and we've got teams like Bournemouth at home could be a massive game, because you know, I think they two or three more games, if they don't pick up results, they're right in it anyway. So, you know, Swansea have probably moved out of the reckoning in some ways, and we've got them second last, haven't we? So they might think, oh, well, we're done and dusted. But, you know, everyone's always relegated, aren't they? Or well, they're definitely down. And then, or like Swansea were definitely down 3 weeks ago. Or...
I'm not saying we're definitely down, but I just think rationally, if I wasn't a Sunderland supporter with that like irrational optimism that we all have, I just, if I was looking from an outsider's perspective, I would be writing Sunderland off right now.
Yeah. Oh well, of course you would. You'd be mad not to, wouldn't you? Bottom of the league, and how many chances have we had to get out?
You talk about putting runs together, and we have got some really good results in isolation, but we've never kicked on. So we had the run of games where we won 3-4, but then we went to Swansea and got beat 3-0 when Bob Bradley was there. We had the Southampton game recently, and I just, as I say, unfortunately, I can't see where this run's going to come from.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But did you see that?
And I'm normally one of the optimistic ones.
Those 3 wins in 4 coming on the back of the worst start we've ever had? Start of any team in the last 105 years or whatever.
And Ichibu was huge for that, though, wasn't he?
He was,
because he changed the whole way we played and everything.
And there you go.
His brace has come off his knee, so I don't know how long it takes to recover from something like that.
It was a medial knee ligament.
Yeah, it was 10 weeks originally, wasn't it? So probably mid-April, maybe.
When was the West Brom game?
Second week in January.
It feels like a lifetime.
It just really highlights our lack of options, doesn't it? That we are so reliant on Victor and Ichibu suddenly. Mm. If you think back to before he came, before we signed him,
we didn't. You know,
it's almost him or nothing.
We didn't sign striker in the window, which, you know,
that's really what's going to cost him, isn't it? The two transfer windows.
There's various different opinions on that, whether or not. I kind of agree that we shouldn't just be buying anyone for the sake of buying anyone. But then you could argue, well, Lescott's anyone, and Ichibu is anyone. Mm. So
sometimes it's about the shape more than anything, isn't it? And having an outlet there.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the best player in the world, someone that can go and stand and do that job, unless you want to put Lescott up there. Give him a call. The wide left in between the lines.
Pappy up there.
Anywhere.
He'll be back this weekend.
Leicester used to play all centre halves up front. All had a goal, didn't they? Marshall and Walsh. And
Walsh, Elliot.
Somebody else, yeah, Elliot. They all had a go up front, didn't they?
Yeah, he used to shut them up there. Didn't Steve Bruce put Neda Manure up front once?
Stuart Pearce put David James up front.
I think that says more about Stuart Pearce than anything else.
Yeah,
you can't listen to Stuart Pearce say more than 2 sentences without saying "this moment in time." I don't know if you've noticed. Really irritates. Once you notice it once, you notice it more often. This is what the show's become already. We're 20 minutes in and we're trying to digress.
We're not trying to digress. It's quite organic, I thought.
Did you get any feedback, or people that disillusioned that didn't even bother?
No, I've got some questions.
Interacting, go on.
Some questions. I was finding them using my phone and that. Let's have a look here. Got some football ones, non-football ones. I'll keep that one for after. This is a bit of a generic one, I guess, but if we were to go down, who would stay? Who would be good enough for the Championship?
Are we going to do a whole show on that at some point during one of the international breaks? I don't want to spoil that too much. To be honest, now I keep saying it. That, as funny as it sounds, because of the financial situation and because... you could hardly say Moyes had been the most inspiring tactically and in the transfer window. But in the last 4 seasons where we flirted with relegation, this is probably the most relaxed I am about going down, to be honest. Because of some of the young players we have there, I think would do well in the Championship.
Well,
plus with the parachute payments, plus potentially bringing in 30-plus million quid for a couple of players, I would be quite relaxed. It's interesting when people say, they'd be the next Portsmouth or the next Leeds, and they just pull these names out of the air of clubs without really, you know... looking at the financial situation.
Well, everyone goes on about how much better it is in the lower league, so we can all enjoy that, can't we?
I don't want to answer that too much, because we will at some point, if things continue to get as bad as they are, no doubt we're going to speak about that in detail on one of the shows.
Sorry, that question was from Johnny Goldsmith. Sorry,
I get asked quite often actually. Related to him.
Neil at the Wide Cafu, long time listener. This is a good one actually. Says wouldn't even bother looking at the game. Maybe it's a 3 years since memories of the League Cup final weekend 2014.
Well, we almost have given that a thought yesterday when that game was on.
You always do, don't you?
It's impossible not to. Yeah.
when the League Cup comes on, you do think about what you would have been. I was actually down in London at the weekend, so obviously I would drove past Wembley on the way out on the mega bus.
Was that your coping tactic to go down to the city?
Just be in there.
There it was, yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was on the tube on the way out, and there was some, I'm assuming, Man United fans. Cause they actually had Manchester accents, and they were like, "Oh, we'll just we'll get off here, and then I'll probably have a few texts off some mates. Some people might want to meet up, but we'll just head up Wembley and chill out and grab a sandwich." I was just thinking that just tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it?
We absolutely took over.
I know.
And you're still going down there now, pining for it to happen again.
That's what. And I always say about that is when you walked out Wembley and you looked at the Man City fans, you'd think they'd lost. Mm. The way they were, it was just a routine victory for them, but they've just won the cup. Yeah.
It's interesting as well when you think of what Manchester City were as a club. I mean, we talk about Stuart Pearce there. They had Stuart Pearce as a manager, couldn't score a goal like for love nor money, and now suddenly they're in a situation where the League Cup's almost beneath them.
Yeah, I mean, it happened quite quickly, really. Hmm. I mean, from when was it they took over the
2000s, so 10 years ago nearly.
Was it 2007? Was it?
Yeah, it was because that's when they signed. Oh, it might be Rabinho. Yeah, they signed Rabinho, didn't they? Yeah. So it might be 9 years.
The year before, in 2007, I think they had. I think they signed Alano and.
Yeah, they had a couple of marquee ones.
What was the other lad called who went to Hull? Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Joan people like that to sign.
Yeah,
that was Ericsson, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did spend quite a bit of money, and then the following season, obviously, they got Hughes. And
was that the season they got beat 8-1 by Borough?
On the last day. And it's interesting how quickly. I mean, we've talked about this on the. When we've done the live shows and stuff, and I've kind of put it to the question to people, if would you take what Man City you've got now? And I know it's easy to say yes. Right? I know, but it is, and everyone always goes, yeah, and like acts like I'm an idiot, but I just always think about, the day I could walk out of the cup final winning it and looking like we'd lost, what does that mean about being a football supporter anymore? Like, your priority, obviously, you've got other games to look ahead to, like Champions League games, but then when do they become irrelevant?
Rather it happened sort of organically, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, like it did with Man United under Ferguson.
Yeah.
Of course, they were one of the league's big boys, and relatively speaking, they still had money to spend, but they didn't. Chelsea were the first club, really. Well, no, you was with Blackburn, wouldn't you? The ones who got lots of money and kind of did it that way.
But I guess he was, they kind of had a little bit of a free pass, didn't they? Because it was a local bloke in it who bought the club, It was like, I guess, Gibson
and Borough
or whatever he was. Yeah. Mr. Blackburn, wasn't he? I think that...
It wasn't... I remember them in the second tier and then suddenly bought all these first division players and blew everybody away, didn't they?
Mm. Well, they had some fantastic players, didn't they?
Is there any more questions?
There is. Let's have a look at this one. Will there be a day when there's a competent local railway network in the north of England? That's from Walshy. I got the megabus yesterday to London.
And how much was it?
£16 return it was.
I got the megabus from Liverpool. So probably Rich's little detour on the way home was nothing on being an overcrammed, sweaty megabus at 9 o'clock last night.
I don't mind them.
Was it full? Was it rammed? Is that what
was on? No. It was, well, we got on there and we were like right at the front of the
bus. Gareth's a big advocate of the megabus.
So we had like the, we're right where the stairs were, so you could recline your seat.
And sponsor the show.
You could recline your seat without any bother. There's no one behind you. Right at the front of the bus.
Oh my God.
Managed to get the League Cup final on the Sky Go on the phone. So I was like just sitting there on the bus watching the match. It was all right. I don't think it's too bad. So get the megabus, Walshy. I'm sure you do because I think you live in Leeds. I've seen on the Twitters. So you probably... Leeds as well. 2 hours on the megabus to Leeds cost about £6 to return. It cost me like £3.50 to get here. So £6 return to Leeds. So it doesn't matter if there's a competent local railway network. Use the megabus. Tickets available at www.megabus.co.uk.
With only two football questions. Yeah.
To sign in the Times.
Well, it is. You ask people to engage.
I asked for like non-football
questions.
You always
get it, you know, after the win like we got against Crystal Palace, you'll get lots of engagement levels then.
Yeah.
Or if you collapse at home, you'll get lots of engagement levels then. But a routine, or how did the Echo put it again?
Who's had the best
boringly routine defeat, and you're not going to get people interested, are you?
Who has had the best flamboyant hairstyle at Sunderland? The only two I can think of has been Ndong and Cissé. Surely Jan.
No, Cissé, because he mixed it up a bit.
He did.
He had a few different
for the derby, had like red and white hair, didn't he, for the derby? But I'm sure Jan had like the three shade.
He did.
Obviously, that three shade into his head. Would you say, if you were... Well, I know you'd say if you saw somebody with a three shade in the head walking down the street, obviously we couldn't say it on here, but you would say, oh, that's a flamboyant hairstyle.
I remember Sean Fortman used to like a bit of flamboyance. Yeah, with a white tracksuit, used to walk around the bridges and that,
I'm sure he didn't, wasn't there a couple of players who all like ended up, not Perez, what about Perez when he went off, shaved the long hair off and went with the spiky bleached blonde?
That was interesting, wasn't it?
That was interesting.
Totally changed his image. There was two blokes that used to sit at the front of the North Stand who used to dress like him. In the match, every match.
No way.
They used to run behind the goal and do the we're not worthy thing with the arms every time he made a save. And they had the same haircut they used to wear the kit, honestly. That was the first season at the Stadium of Light, I remember clearly.
So they had that.
They got that haircut and they used to wear the Sunderland kit and they used to sit near the front of the North Stand, near the front. And every time he did a save, they would run to the front and do that way not worthy thing with the arms.
Well, Kenny Community is not always a success, is it?
We need to find who these people are, because I'm telling you that it did happen.
If it's that you, do you want to tweet us? And if you've got the...
It would be good, honestly, because it did happen. The day before, photos on your phones and stuff like that. Barely anybody had a phone.
Yeah, if anyone ever saw that happen, I mean, surely they'll, on the end of season videos, maybe I'll like go back, troll back through the replays.
Yeah, I bet it's there somewhere. Or
in the
Echo, Richard, if you're going to get
some. Yeah, we'll have a look through the archives.
What do you think they did
it
at Wembley?
It was the first season.
When he dropped that ball.
It was the first season of the Stadium.
They're like, we are worthy, actually, yeah.
When they got the head shaved immediately after the game.
In the ground.
The last 5 minutes, are there any more there worth reading out? Because I want to ask
you. Another debate about the correct spelling of crack, as in. That's
Irish
good crack.
I did spell it the Irish way.
Well, I did.
I do normally.
And then somebody, it's always the same person, a guy called Jerry Mannering, always replies correct, and this was crack. And I said, I only put that in there because I know he'd reply and correct me. So there's a debate going on about the correct spelling. So if you've got any thoughts on that, feel free to contact us and we'll talk about it next week.
I spell it the English way, but it's got a different meaning altogether. So.
Apparently not. Apparently it was stolen. By the Irish.
Really? Oh God, we're not going
and then
down that
they
route.
It. But obviously, because of like,
because of the altogether, we'll not go there.
Because of the obviously the probably the influx of St Patrick's Day crack. we're probably
okay,
where
fair
we
enough.
Are.
Well, that's worse.
We invented Guinness hats, actually. So there
what?
You go.
Do people think David Moyes is under threat, job wise?
No, I don't think so. I think he's very much here for the... You know, he's obviously signed a four-year contract.
Is that the only reason?
That
he's safe? For the financial... impact, if we would have...
I mean, him and Martin Bain are very close, aren't they, for a start. So he's got a very close ally there. I think if you survive the worst ever start in Premier League history, you're probably going to see out the season, certainly. So I certainly don't think he's under any pressure.
What about his commitment levels? I know you don't know this, but I'm asking what you think. Next season, say we were to go down.
It's an interesting one, because obviously Newcastle quickly confirmed Rafa Benitez as boss. That was different, because he came in late, hadn't he?
Do you think that was quick confirmation? It took about 2 weeks, didn't it?
Well, all right, relatively, I suppose. They didn't drag on as long as the Sam Allardyce stuff.
Will you be begging, using the front page of the Echo to beg David Moyes to stay?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's an interesting point from the fans, whether they would have the same... I would suspect not.
It's weird, isn't it? Because
there's nowhere for David Moyes' career, by the way, if we get relegated. It's not like he can just walk out and then land another Premier League job. You wouldn't have thought. Because he's very much damage limitation for him at the moment, isn't it? Or trying to repair his reputation.
But don't you think as well, on a positive, looking at it positively, that the mess, I think the actions kind of Bain and Moyes and the administration, and what they've actually done, I think it does sort of tie together 9 out of 10 times, which it does feel like everyone's, even though the results have been poor, and that's no different, but you've always had this kind of feeling of a bit of disharmony, whether it be, you know, Poyet having a go at the manager, or Ellis Short, or the fact that you've got, well, the Adam Johnson situation. Obviously, you kind of feel this time we've got a presence in the boardroom who's speaking publicly. You've got the manager who's kind of on the board the same way. I don't know. And then the actions as well in the community, I think, have been pretty good. They've done some really good things.
I mean,
things.
That's a big positive, isn't it? But obviously, fans would rather have points than seeing the team train. But it's a positive step.
But this is it. Everyone wants it all now. And unfortunately, we've tried to act in the short term and then hope for the long-term benefit, whereas this time it's almost like, well, what will be in the short term, but we know if we do the right things now, in time, we're going to have a positive result. And really, we've been firefighting for 5 years.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, people talk about if we went down, they'd want maybe like a young, hungry manager who would be on an upward trajectory, but we've already been there and tried that, like you say. I don't think there's any like magic formula that's going to turn our fortunes around anytime soon, so I think we could do a lot worse than persist with Moyes, whatever happens. And I think he deserves the opportunity when we go down. We talked before about which players will leave the club. I think he deserves the opportunity to have that clear out and bring his own players and see how we get on.
I don't think it might not necessarily, like Stephen's made the point, it might not have to be a clear out. I mean,
but you know what I mean?
He's probably brought enough players in himself that will be good enough at that level. And they might get better playing at that level week in, week out. If we go down, of course. I mean, but I think someone posed a question, actually, if we do stay up, will next season be any different to this season? I mean, I know obviously the wage bill does increase every season from a financial fair play perspective, and we'll get the money, won't we? End of the first year of the TV deal.
He's got history selling.
Yeah.
As he's got previous.
His business
Everton,
model.
That was the way. That was.
I mean,
Pickford
wouldn't
things.
Stay, would he? I mean, even if they stay up, chances are Pickford may well be off. So there's big money. Would hope for at least one player.
Yeah, and he, to be fair as well,
it's
on that point,
you've got to
there's
talk
two.
With Jordan,
but you look
like,
at
isn't
you look at two players.
I guess if you're being realistic.
You look at two players.
I think more from other clubs wanting them rather than someone wanting to sell them.
Because if you had a choice, you would say, let's get rid of Corney. Try and get a couple of players.
Yeah.
You know, we've sold Van Aanholt at a profit, and we've sold Seb Quatnes at a profit. And since they've been here, which, I mean, it was three in the last
47 or something.
47, so we've done.
They can't take credit for that, though. They were both Poyet signings, to be fair. All I've done is accept offers for them. Poyet still bought the players. It's not because they have changed the model. They haven't made a profit on those players because they've drastically changed the model.
But we were criticised for selling Kabul at such a low fee in the summer and that he didn't buy him. So, you know, that is an improvement. And other players who've gone have been bought by managers previous because, well, we've had more managers than players. So, you know, it's only natural that players who were sold are going to be sold by managers who probably didn't buy them. But the point is that we sold them at, you know, a reasonable profit for the two. We only spent, what, 3.5 million on the two players, and we got, what, 17? Well, probably about 15 profit on the two. So it's all right, isn't it, if you enjoy bank accounts. Love bank accounts, me. Nat West away.
The game was so dull at the weekend. Sunderland fans have been sitting there talking about bank accounts and business models and profits. Yeah.
Spreadsheets all over desk as we speak. Just
but that's part of football now, and you know, you've got access to so much information. I mean, we're standing here doing this now. You know, it's a relatively recent thing, isn't it? Everyone's an expert and everything, but everyone's probably more informed than they've ever been because of that what's available to drill down into, and you sort of your opinions generally become a bit more
validated.
Or you know, different levels. You know, it's all a wider picture in it. So yeah, it's whatever level you look at it in Sunderland, it never appears to be that positive, does it? But you know,
would anyone be thinking about getting rid of Moyes before we wrap it up?
No. I mean, I know in the first 10 games I would have thought I would have entertained the idea just because he looked absolutely clueless. But I think it's like, I think it is a case of, you know, with this, Moyes is our medicine now. It's like, you know, we've been ill for 5 years and now we've got to like try this. We've got to try this like revolutionary treatment and
nasty tasting
doing something
antibiotic.
Continuing to do something.
Kids really hate
Calpol,
right? Those ones. No,
they
like
Moyes and Calpol, but
they love the taste of Calpol. That's the antibiotic, one, isn't it?
Tell you what was minging, Junior Disprol. Do you ever have that?
Possibly.
It's like a soluble thing. It was absolutely disgusting. That's what David Moyes' Junior Disprol.
That's a good name,
but you know,
for the show.
But it does make it did make you feel better.
Get that quote.
End.
Get that quote written down, and we're going to tweet out the show using that quote, advertising. See if anybody's going to listen. But thanks if you did listen. The loyal lot we have anyway. We'll be back later in the week.
Yeah, into the light later in the week, isn't it?
Thursday. We haven't been told.
No,
randomly
Michael
otherwise that he wants to do
it on Tuesday morning.
He wants to do it at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday or something like that. So we're fine. So thanks for listening anyway.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.